From DogWorks Radio Network, sponsored by Alaska DogWorks, Professional Canine Training Center in Anchorage, Alaska. This is the DogWorks Radio Show, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. DogWorks Radio is part of the one and only 24-hour internet radio network dedicated to dogs. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to DogWorks Radio here on Radio Free Palmer. Our live streaming site is radiofreepalmer.org, and our website is dogworksradio.com. Make sure you search for us over on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for DogWorks Radio. We're also over on iTunes. Search for DogWorks Radio. I'm here today with the lead trainer at Lead Dog Service Dogs. Her name is Michelle Forto. She has been training service dogs since 2006, started out in Denver, and has worked her way up to Alaska. Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
So what is the topic today? I know we're going to have a few shows about what it takes to get a service dog, and today is kind of an intro, isn't it?
Today is an intro. Basically, you want a service dog, and you know, a lot of people call us up and tell us that they want a therapy dog. And first and foremost, there is a big difference between a therapy dog and a service dog. My general definition is this. A therapy dog is a dog that you train with a trainer that you get certified to take to a facility like Children's Hospital. And you visit with that dog once or twice a week for a couple of hours. And then that dog gets to go home with you. A service dog is a dog that is trained by a professional trainer with you or not with you to perform specific tasks for you and your disability. And that dog goes with you everywhere. So that is our definition of a service dog versus a therapy dog, first and foremost. But the definition under Title II of the Americans with Disability Act, a service animal is defined as: a service animal means any dog that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. Furthermore, Title II explains that emotional support animals, comfort animals, and therapy dogs are not service animals under Title II and III. Other species of animals, whether wild or domestic, trained or untrained, are not considered service animals either. The work or task performed by a service animal must be directly related to the individual's disability. It does not matter if a person has a note from a doctor that states that the person has a disability and needs to have the animal for emotional support. A doctor's letter does not turn an animal into a service animal. So that being said, that's kind of a big thing. A lot of people think, oh, I got a note from my doctor, I need an emotional support dog. And they automatically think that that means they get a service dog and all of the rights that go along with having a service dog. I can take the dog with me anywhere. I get a first floor apartment and so on and so forth. I get to fly with my dog on the plane. I don't have restrictions even when I fly to Hawaii, which is not true. There are still restrictions even for service dogs. So that's some of the hurdles that we as professional dog trainers find ourselves up against, is constantly having to re-educate the public because a doctor has misinformed their patient that all they need is this note that says that they'll get a service animal. That's one of the negativities to the world of service dogs at this moment in time. A recipient recently wrote on her blog that she found herself up against a wall and constantly under scrutiny and constantly coming up against her family members and other people questioning her about her service dog. But not only that, she had the general public doing it and she had other trainers doing it as well. And the recipient outlined some very basic questions that I myself have not practiced asking on a regular basis. Some of her questions: can you handle being the center of attention all the time? Can you financially afford to care for a dog? Are you physically able to care for a dog? Do you have a good support system? One of her best questions, are you willing to work to manage your disability to fullest extent possible without the service dog? So basically, those questions are pretty cut and dry. Can you handle being the center of attention all the time is a question that I do ask. And a lot of times my clients say, no, I can't. I have PTSD. I have panic attacks. I have anxiety. And for that those reasons, I cannot deal with being the center of attention all of the time. So we go into education for those clients, coaching with those clients. And not only that, but teaching the dog how to ignore the general public at most costs. If you cannot answer that question in a way that you can work around it, then you need to consider not having a service dog. Because a service dog is an extension of your medical treatment. It becomes part of your medical treatment the same as a wheelchair does. Can you financially afford to care for a dog? Remember, this is not asking you if you can afford to even care for a service dog. A dog costs, what is the cost of a dog monthly, Robert?
About $30 a month just to feed the dog. We always say a dollar a day.
A dollar a day, and maybe more in the beginning when they're puppies for preventative care, vaccines, spay and neuter, so on and so forth, correct?
Right.
Right, thank you. I did not have my numbers on me. So caring for the dog is one aspect of it, and it doesn't sound like a lot. Ooh, a dollar a day, that's not very much. If you're on a fixed income, a dollar a day can become quite expensive. And with a service dog, Robert can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that a service dog can cost more like $2 to $3 a day because you're going to feed them the best food that you can find and buy. That means you're not going to feed them the grocery store brand. You're going to feed them the best food on the market. And some of the best foods on the market can run between $50 and $75 a bag. That's more than a dollar a day to feed your dog, because most dogs will eat a 40-pound bag of dog food in a month. So that's putting it into a little bit of perspective for you. But also, a service dog needs to be kept in the utmost health so that it can work for you for a long period of time and live a long life. Are you physically able to care for a dog? Now, this might seem offensive. But if you're missing limbs, if you are unable to move a certain way, or if your ailment causes you not to be able to brush a dog or bathe a dog or even assist the dog getting in and out of your car to take it to a groomer, these are things that you need to consider and also take under consideration when you are talking with a trainer about the types of dogs that you may feel would work for you won't necessarily work for your situation because of your inability to care for the dog. And you need to let the trainer help guide you through that and not force a decision when you are choosing the dog because it's a breed you like or a breed you think will do well or a dog that you've rescued. And we'll leave those items for another show. Are you willing to, I'm sorry, the support system. The support system is a huge deal. A lot of disabled clientele do live on their own, and they have lost the support system that they should really have in their lives, or they have a great support system, but the support system is great, but they are not too interested in taking on additional care of a dog. A lot of times with our autistic clients, we try to explain to the parents that you're going to load up the kids, you're going to load up the diaper bags and the backpacks and all the things that the kids need and their medicine and things, and then you're going to load up the dog and all of the things the dog needs just for a day trip. It can become quite cumbersome, and in some instances, a service dog is not the most appropriate solution to the situation. Are you willing to work to manage your disability to the fullest extent possible without the service dog? So that leads me right into that question. The idea is that you are getting a service dog to enhance your life, to make your life better, not to help you become more disabled. In other words, if you can physically get up and turn on and off a light switch I'm not going to teach the dog to turn it on and off for you. Robert, what do you think about that?
I think it's a great topic. I think that a lot of people are misinformed about what is required for the recipient of a service dog, but also they're often misinformed about what the dog should or shouldn't do in public.
Absolutely. And, you know, that brings us, our show next week will be about public access training and the importance of public access training. To close out today's show, we're going to discuss the recipient's responsibilities, something that we haven't really delved into on any of our shows in the past. We typically talk about the definition of service dogs and where you can use them and procedures and, you know, rules for Hawaii and things like that. But a recipient's responsibilities are very important and an overlooked category. Ultimately, the dog is 100% the recipient's responsibility. A traditional training program places a puppy at a training facility for the first 18 to 24 months of its life, placing the responsibility on the trainers. Those recipients that choose a dog themselves and undertake the rigorous training on their own have full responsibility of the dog from day one, but they also have a responsibility to the public to properly train and prepare that dog to not only perform the service tasks necessary for the recipient, but to behave accordingly in public places. A program like Lead Dog Service Dogs chooses to include the recipient in the dog's life along the way during the entire training process. In this situation, the recipient is responsible for the dog, but the trainer is ultimately responsible for the training regimen and the success of that dog becoming a professionally trained and certified service dog. The certification means that the dog underwent a certain number of training hours, scenarios, and was properly trained and prepared for any and all public situations. If a recipient chooses to obtain an online identification packet for their dog, a vest, and even a piece of paper that states the dog is a certified service dog, then they are announcing to the public that the dog has undergone X number of training hours and is prepared to be in public places to perform his service tasks. Be aware, these agencies will send you a packet with all of the documentation you need, even if your dog is a puppy. A typical professional training facility such as Guide Dogs for the Blind or Canine Companions for Independence, and even Lead Dog Service Dogs, will put the dog through a two-year training program. A puppy is just not able to perform most service tasks and barely is potty trained at home, let alone a public place.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest pieces of misinformation out there about service dogs. People think they can take an easy way out and just buy that certificate online, and the next thing you know, hocus pocus, their dog is a service dog. And not only does it do a disservice to them and whatever training needs that they need, but also a disservice to all of the service dogs and all of the recipients that went through all of that work and all that time to get their dog up to snuff.
That's true. But unfortunately, a certification is not required. That is one of the biggest problems. Robert and I have both been proponents for getting certification for service dogs legitimate, as if you were taking the bar for becoming a lawyer. We think that a service dog should meet a certain number of requirements to earn that certification, not just go online, fill out some documentation with a registry, and have that registry turn around and put your little puppy's photograph on a driver's license, essentially, and send it back to you for $250. You now have a service dog, but you don't. You have a puppy that you registered with a company that works out of a basement, and they don't report to anyone, including the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Such a great topic. We always have so many questions about this, not only in our daily affairs at our business, but also on emails and Facebook and everything else. Michelle, we're going to continue this topic for the next several weeks. What are you talking about next week?
We are going to discuss public access training, which is not a topic that is discussed very often, but it is the key component in getting your dog prepared to behave properly in public places.
So that was Michelle Forto, the lead trainer at Lead Dog Service Dogs here in Alaska, and you're listening to Dog Works Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Matsu Valley. Also on dogworksradio.com, make sure you search us on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Dog Works Radio. And we're also on iTunes. Search for us again at Dog Works Radio. So until next time, goodbye.